Welcome to the new Cat Chat, brought to you by Dr. Elsie's. Privately owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose personal mission is to formulate litters that keep cats using the litter box, which keeps them in their loving homes. I'm Tracy Hotchner, the author of The Cat Bible, Everything Your Cat Expects You to Know. My mission is to entertain, educate, and inspire cat lovers like you to give their kitty cats the best possible life in nutrition, affection, and environmental enrichment by interviewing cat authors and experts, some old favorites, some new conversations. Dr. Elsie is also the founding and continuing sponsor of my Cat Film Festival, short films from around the world that celebrate the kitty cat, which will be back in theaters as soon as they reopen. Meantime, thanks to Dr. Elsie's, you can now see streaming versions of the Cat Film Festival for free on Amazon Prime and Tubi TV. This show is also brought to you by Meet Me, where they make organic, humane, raw frozen foods and dehydrated treats on their own rural farm in Virginia. The turkey, chicken, rabbit, and beef are certified organic and humanely raised and processed right on their property, so they control safety and health for animals on their farm and at your home, which is why they say from farm to bowl. I am delighted to meet Tracy Lennox. She's in Los Angeles and is the founder of the Black Cat Holistic Rescue. She's one of the extraordinary women who are a loosely knit network that's not a network at all across the country, looking after black cats, saving them from shelters, educating people about why they're special and why you should not overlook them. Tracy, congratulations on having spent 23 years saving personally and then for other people black kitties and having started Black Cat Holistic Rescue in 2015. It's a great accomplishment, and I'm sure many people thank you for it.
Thank you.
Well,
appreciate
of course, the black kitties, thank you, in particular.
So
why are you called Black Cat Holistic Rescue? I mean, I've read up a little bit on you, and I want to talk about you having become a Reiki master for many years and a teacher, but why Black Cat Holistic Rescue?
As the years went by, as a cat owner, I noticed that cats are extremely sensitive creatures compared to maybe, you know, if you could compare them to dogs, they're
right.
A lot more sensitive to medications and just different types of behavioral aspects of being a pet. So I noticed that they responded very well to Reiki.
Oh.
And it helps to calm them because they tend to be get stressed out and have a little bit of anxiety.
Definitely.
During transitions, you know. And I noticed that Reiki calmed them down, whether it was if they were just experiencing stress or if they had an illness or an injury. Reiki was a good component to add to their veterinarian care.
That's actually a really great point. I always point out to people about cats that they live in a state of constant stress when they have to live with people. And obviously, if they're living on the street and having to avoid people and other animals, that because they're a prey animal, they have to be on high alert. And that stress is part of their nature, and yet stress is not good or healthy for any of us. So it's really, and so of course, I often tell people pheromone diffusers, pheromone sprays, just and various other environmental ways to give cats a sense that they have some control over their environment and that it feels right to them. But Reiki is a wonderful practice that it's I've always found it hard to fully understand, even if I watch, let's say, a YouTube of someone doing it. But given that it's what you do and how you teach other people, fosters and adopters, to do, maybe you or better at articulating it. But I think it's something that everyone can incorporate into their cat ownership and their cat stewardship, don't you?
Yes, and it would definitely benefit every single cat on this earth.
That's right. That's right. More than any other animal. You're right, they're more sensitive. They pick up vibes. They just are more still, in a sense. Even the most crazy little kitten having a kitten crazies, they have a connection. That is, I guess, why people have been drawn to them for centuries and have the sense of them being mystical or magical, certainly fascinating. Talk about what Reiki is. I understand, in a sense, it's a kind of specialized thoughtful, mindful massage. Is that too simplistic?
You know, I think that's a really good way of describing it. And the thing about Reiki is you don't even have to touch the cat or the person for them to get Reiki. Obviously, you know, that is a part of it sometimes. But a lot of cats, when they're stressed out, they don't want to be touched.
That's true.
And so you have to let them lead the way. You let them lead their own healing process. And sometimes it just looks like maybe you sit down on the floor and put your hands out, and then they just kind of walk around you and kind of rub up against your hand. A lot of times Reiki looks like that. Sometimes cats will be like, okay, you may touch me. and then it's just really quick because they're so sensitive. They really don't need a lot of Reiki to make them feel better.
But so the mindfulness has to do, if I understand this correctly, that you as a teacher and a master teacher, that you, the human, when you sit down, have to have an intention. I'm asking you this, but it's an intention, an idea, a message. There's something you are thinking or feeling and trying to convey to the animal?
You know, I always try to convey here, this, I'm offering you peace.
Nice.
And what works for me the best when I'm doing Reiki for animals is to think in pictures, because they think in pictures. So the way I'll start it out, I'll be kind of like, you know, in a meditative state, and I'll just send out a thought that says, show me your happy place and I will meet there.
Oh.
So that, you know, we will meet in your happy place where you feel safe and comfortable. And they connect to that. And a lot of times they show me places.
Really?
And it's really interesting that the places that they show me where they, like, you know, could be rustling leaves or tall grass or the ocean. That was for a dog. The dog was running next to the ocean.
Right.
When she met me. So, just different special places.
So do you consider yourself a meditator? Do you have to be good at meditating and being still in your own mind and open to what comes in order to practice Reiki or give Reiki to a cat?
It's best to come from a place of stillness, but you don't have to be good at meditating. You just have to be good at connecting and understanding when that connection happens. But the cat will tell you, the cat's going to show you that they're feeling the Reiki. You'll see. They give you different signs. You know, sometimes they'll lie down and just get really relaxed. Sometimes they'll just rub up against your hands, you know, to say thank you.
This is hard for some people. It's hard for some people to wrap their heads around, and I'm a very literal person, but I have interviewed enough people who practice Reiki and used to have, when Cat Chat was live on Sirius XM for 7.5 years, every Wednesday night, I had an animal communicator, Anne-Marie Sawicki, and we blew up the phone lines at Sirius because people knew that it was Wednesday at 5 p.m. West and 8 p.m. East. And, you know, we just couldn't. I tried to limit it to 5 minutes per person or three even. It was hard. But I began to understand, being this sort of cynic or skeptic, if you will, a doubter, definitely a doubting Thomas, that something truly happens for those humans who allow it to happen. And then you have to have this kind of open-minded non-cynicism to watch what happens with the animal, because it's very easy to think, nothing's happening, or, oh, I'm just imagining it, or that cat was going to lie down anyway. How do you help people overcome their own reluctance to have a kind of childlike openness or trust that something really is happening and it's inexplicable? It's not something you can, you know, give a prescription for. It comes from, let's say, one soul to another. How do you tell people or encourage people to believe in this practice? Because I think it would benefit the people, of course, just as much as the cats.
Right. I always say the only true way to understand Reiki is to experience it yourself. So that would be my advice, is to find a Reiki therapist and have a session, or maybe two or three sessions, and notice how it makes you feel after you're done with your session. I also, right now during COVID, I haven't been doing in-person sessions for humans, but I also practice Reiki for humans. And that's just the easiest way to understand the energy. And the one reason why it's hard to explain is because every person experiences it differently, because every person is different.
Right.
And every cat is different. And every session, like, will be different, because you're different from the time before, because you've already experienced Reiki energy. So you're going to be at a different level in your next session. And the same for the cats. And the animals always take the lead. They're going to take as much Reiki as they want and need, and then they'll be done. And they'll let you know when they're done.
So in a way, you could almost call it passive love, because one of the things that's hard for cats and for those people that want to live closely and intimately with them is that most cats can only tolerate so much physical affection. There's a quick limit to that. And so people say, oh, that cat doesn't like me, or that cat's a mean cat because I'm stroking and then the cat bites me or wants to scratch me or runs away. But the person simply hasn't read the body language that the cat is, it's enough. It's more than an ample sufficiency. It's too much sensation, too much input. So in a way, the Reiki allows you to give a kind of passive attention or love or affection without it spilling over past the cat's saturation point. Do you find that that's true?
Right. That's exactly true, because they're going to take as much as they need and walk away. And that's one of the reasons why it's usually better not to touch the cat
right
when you're giving Reiki. But if your cat allows it, then you might as well do the touch Reiki, if you know, as long as they're going to allow it, especially if there's an injury or something.
But with dogs,
like to.
But with dogs, you can touch. I guess I was remembering Reiki from when a Reiki practitioner talked about dogs and running hands over the. I mean, most dogs will enjoy and sit around for hours of touching if you're willing,
yeah.
You know, except for the cat-like ones. So the question is not to just pat your dog mindlessly or thoughtlessly. I mean, you can if you want, but when you want to really make the connection, to do it mindfully, to put your attention to what you're doing, I guess.
Yes, and make sure the intention is you know, for the highest good of the animal.
Nice.
And it's always best to start out the session without the touch, just to see how they're feeling about it, because
wow,
they can't talk. So if they don't want Reiki, they need to be able to tell you that.
Interesting. So, without hurting your feelings, because dogs do worry
yeah.
about that. Yeah. Whereas a cat's like, if I don't want it, I don't want it. But the dog's like, I guess she really wants to pat me. I got to put up with it. So
yeah.
let's talk about the black cats. Los Angeles Animal Services, which is the county shelters, are filled with dogs and tons of cats. That's where you get a lot of your black kitties from, right? You rescue them from there, since they're not always as appreciated as other colored cats, and therefore can wind up being euthanized much more, at a much higher rate than cats of other colors.
Yes, that's correct.
So that's a rotten deal for a gorgeous,
yes,
shiny, sleek black cat with big green eyes to discover that he's unloved simply because. Why do you think, fill in the dots, why is that? Why is it that black cat doesn't attract the same attention? Apparently white cats get adopted at a much higher rate. What's so great about a white cat? I mean, all kitties are gorgeous, but why do people pick white over black, do you think? You've spent 23 years paying attention to this issue.
Well, I've personally heard people tell me, like at adoption events, they'll walk by and they'll say, oh, I don't like black cats. And I'll say, really, why not? Most people can't even tell you why. They just don't. And so that tells me it's like maybe an unintentional bias that has been like programmed into them from myths and fairy tales or
Yeah, that's true. Fairy tales and the black cat not crossing your path. I mean, everyone is sort of told that at some point, and maybe it sticks, and you never question, what do you mean? I mean, what are you talking about?
And then, so when someone already has these beliefs programmed into their belief system, they walk into the shelter, they just walk past all the black cats.
Wow.
I was there saving a black cat, and this was last fall, and I was saving one black cat, and I noticed another one just begging and crying, just, you know, save me, save me. And I watched this family walk. For me, it was not, you could just, you could not ignore it, but they did. They just walked right past it. It was like he wasn't even there. And I promised him I would come back for him, and I did. I did save him.
But he was invisible to them. For some people, black cats are invisible. So it's a strange phenomenon, and one that I think it's really great that you're one of the leaders in terms of years of doing this, of saying, please look twice at a black cat. And probably once you've looked hard once, you will always look for them. They're so particularly elegant and gorgeous, and they're their own little clique, aren't they? I mean, they're a subset of cats that to me seem so special. I mean, even if they have a touch of white on them, to be all black seems kind of special. I don't know, genetically, is it more unusual to be all black?
I've done a little bit of research in that. And, you know, being like 100% black is a little bit unusual. There's usually some white somewhere on a black cat. But I'm reading that the black fur color is a dominant trait.
Oh, interesting. So that's why you're going to see a lot of them.
Yeah. And so if you're in a city like Los Angeles and there's a really bad overpopulation problem, then the odds are that more black cats are going to be homeless or die or not experience the same kind of fate as a different colored fur cat.
Well, Tracy, we've run out of time, but I want everyone that's in the Los Angeles area to think twice about any black kitty you see anywhere and tip your hat to them and tell them they're lovely without even any words. And you don't even have to touch them. And blackcatholisticrescue.org is there in Los Angeles for the whole area. Please give a black kitty a chance. Tracy has put them in a wonderful Reiki state, and they were ready for you. Thanks so much, Tracy. Thanks for listening to Cat Chat. I hope this conversation has deepened your understanding and appreciation of cats everywhere. It's been brought to you by Dr. Elsie's, which created their own clean protein foods inspired by the protein levels found in a cat's natural prey. I recommend that wet food should always be your cat's primary diet, but clean protein also comes as a dry food, the first one I would recommend if you want to feed dry, even as part of your cat's diet. This show is also supported by cat water, specially formulated to appeal to cats, chlorine-free, ozonated, and lightly acidic, to encourage them to drink more to promote urinary tract health and the ideal pH.